October 4, 1918. What can one say? And yet I've got to write something because however little I remember now, I'll remember less in years to come. It's not true to say one remembers nothing. A lot of it you know you'll never forget, and a few things you'll pray to forget and not be able to. But the connections go. Bubbles break on the surface like they do on the flooded craters round here. The ones that have been here years and have God knows what underneath. It was dark. Early evening. Deep black. And we expected a counterattack at dawn. Until then there was nothing to do but wait. Both intolerably cramped and intolerably exposed. Enfilading machine gun fire on three sides. Cramped isn't a figure of speech either. The trench was hardly more than a scraping in the earth. Any careless movement and you'd had it. And for a lot of time we wore gas masks because there'd been a very heavy gas barrage put down by our own side, and it lingered. The whole area smelled like a failed suicide attempt. And I kept hearing Sarah's voice saying about Johnny, "It was our own gas, our own bloody gas." Each aircraft carried a stick of 11 British parachutists, some 55 soldiers in all, almost the entire strength of a new, experimental and intensely secret combat unit, L Detachment of the Special Air Service, the SAS. As the planes rumbled northwest, the wind began to pick up, bringing the electric inklings of a brewing storm. The temperature inside dropped quickly as the sun slipped below the desert horizon. It was suddenly intensely cold. The fledgling SAS was on its first mission. Codenamed Operation Squatter, it ran as follows. To parachute at night into the Libyan desert behind the enemy lines. Infiltrate 5 airfields on foot. Plant explosives on as many German and Italian aircraft as they could find. And then, as the bombs exploded, head south to a rendezvous point deep in the desert where they would be picked up and brought back to safety.